Grace and mercy from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I know you didn't know that was coming. I'll give you one more chance. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, so much better. How about this one? Happy Epiphany. Very well done, although we'll admit it doesn't roll off the tongue quite as easily. But I greet you that way because today is actually Epiphany, January the 6th. It's a festival that's also often called the Festival of Light. It celebrates the birth of Jesus, the light of the world, and ushers us into the season of Epiphany that runs all the way to Lent. In some ways, Epiphany is the mirror festival and season to Advent. Whereas during the 4 weeks of Advent, we light more and more candles as the days grow shorter and darker in the Northern Hemisphere, across the nearly two-month season of Epiphany, there is more light each and every day, symbolizing how the light of God's love made manifest at Christmas continues to grow and spread. So I'm starting with that mini tutorial on Epiphany, because truthfully, this festival has not been a big deal in most Protestant churches in North America and Europe. Christmas is our major winter festival, celebrating Jesus' birth, the day we sing songs and give our gifts. But in Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches, especially in Latin America, Greece, and Russia, Epiphany is a very big deal. Variously known as Twelfth Night, the Feast of the Epiphany, El Día de los Tres Reyes, the Three Kings Day. That was easier in Spanish. Today, January 6th, rather than December 25th, is the day that many Christians across the world give their Christmas gifts to each other, which makes a certain sense when you think about it, because church tradition holds that the wise men arrive in Bethlehem on this very day to present the baby Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, we may not know all that much about Epiphany, though. We certainly know about the three kings at the center of the story. We've been singing their song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. We've put their figures in our manger scenes, usually way ahead of January the 6th. And some of us may even have played one of them in a Sunday school Christmas play. That was me, PK that I am, although I didn't have nearly as cool a costume as those guys. But here I should warn you, because there are two very distinct ways to tell this story. The one we know best is the one we grew up with, and we still enjoy telling it to our kids and grandkids. It's the story of the three kings who, guided by the light of a star, came from afar bearing gifts for the newborn king. There's a certain wonder and even magic about this story of wandering magi from the distant east, as it witnesses to God's commitment to reach the whole world, even those who live in distant lands like these foreign kings, with the news of God's redeeming love. It's a wonderful story, one good for all of us, children, youth, and adults, to hear again. But there's another way to tell this story as well, one that we're probably a little more cautious about sharing with our kids and grandkids, the same way we're sometimes cautious about our kids watching the evening news until they get to a certain age. This way of telling the story slows down just enough to notice a detail that often gets lost amid our admiration for the kings and their presence. And that's the note of fear and opposition that Jesus' birth occasions right from the start. Because another king, Herod of Jerusalem, does not greet the news of the newborn king with joy, nor does he search for an appropriate gift to give the new Messiah. Rather, he is afraid, even terrified. And not just Herod, but, as St. Matthew writes, all Jerusalem with him. Why? Well, maybe it's because all too often the one thing those in power seek more than anything else is to remain in power. Gone from Herod and his court is any notion of the kind of servant leadership that the prophets of Israel demanded. Gone is any memory that God placed them in their positions of authority to serve others rather than to serve themselves. Herod, though, seeks nothing more than his own ends, to hold on to his power. And so he is immediately threatened by the mere mention of another and therefore rival king. But maybe it's also something that runs a little deeper. Maybe Herod and all Jerusalem get afraid because the presence of these foreign kings and their quest for God's Messiah announce that the world is changing, that God is drawing near, and that nothing can remain the same in the presence of Jesus. I mean, the arrival of these three wandering foreigners signals that the reach of God's love simply cannot be contained, that there's no longer Jew or Gentile, there's no longer insider or outsider, but that everyone is included in God's plan for salvation. This isn't a new theme in the Bible, of course. At the very beginning of the story, God promises to bless Abraham so that he may, in turn, be a blessing to the whole world. But now it's actually happening. All distinctions between people of different ethnicities and races and backgrounds and even religions seem to dissolve. I mean, these kings aren't Jews. They're not Israelites. They believe differently. They've worshipped other gods. And yet they are drawn into Matthew's story as they fall on their knees in worship and thanksgiving in the presence of Jesus. Maybe this story is frightening because it testifies that God loves everyone, which sounds wonderful until you realize that means even the people who are different from you, even the people we fear, even the people we have named as our enemies. This terrifies Herod. And so he first tries to get the kings to help him locate the baby. And when he fails, he is so enraged that he calls for the murder of all the children in that region who are 2 years old or younger, all in order to stamp out the baby Jesus. This version of the story, quite frankly, is a lot harder to listen to, as it moves quickly from the gifts of the Magi to a darker, more ambivalent world of political intrigue, deception, and fear-induced violence. But it's also an important story to hear. Because if Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus is sobering, it's also realistic. Think about it. We too live in a world riddled by fear. Sometimes those fears are quite personal, whether we'll get into the college of our choice, whether we'll find a job, whether we'll find someone to live our life as a partner. And sometimes those fears are much larger as we live in a world of increasingly out-of-control wildfires and raging tsunamis, a world of school shootings and rising suicide rates, a world where innocents die every day from preventable illnesses and hunger. But I think St. Matthew paints this picture this realistically, this darkly, for a reason. Because it's only when we take seriously the world we live in that we realize just how significant is the promise God makes to us in Jesus. Because Matthew's darker story of Jesus' birth declares that it is precisely this world that God came to. This people, sometimes so overwhelmed by fear, we do unspeakable things to each other. But this people that God loves, this gaping hurt and need and fear that God comes in Jesus to address. Jesus, St. Matthew tells us, is our Emmanuel, a word that means God with us. The living, breathing, and vulnerable promise that God chose to come and live and die for us, just as we are. God isn't waiting for the world to get good enough or even close enough to love. And God isn't waiting for that for us either, but rather comes to us to accept us, love us, and save us as we are. I don't know. Can't know really what fears you may harbor at the outset of a new year. Fears about your career or family, about the markets or the weather, about global warming or border security or government shutdowns, but God knows them all. And God doesn't shrink away from our fears, but rather meets us in them, not promising to take them all away, but rather promising to be with us and help us face them, so that we are not dominated by fear, but can live instead by faith and hope, by courage and compassion. Herod hears about the birth of Jesus and is terrified by the breadth and depth of God's love. We hear of Jesus' birth and are reminded that indeed Jesus is the light of the world, the whole world, including those who are different from us, but also including us. This is the light, we confess, that the darkness has not overcome, cannot overcome, will not overcome, because it is the light of God's love. So indeed, Happy New Year and Happy Epiphany. For while we do not know what this new year will bring, we do know that God will be both with us and for us, lighting our way forward and using us to share God's love and light with others. Thanks be to God, this Epiphany and always. Amen.